Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Well, the Pac-12 has been a follower all along when it comes to what their plan is. They follow the Big Ten. They walk hand in hand. I saw this morning that Jeff Patricus of the Milwaukee Journal-Sentinel had a great piece that sort of laid out what would be the plan. A lot of people, a lot of Wisconsin fans and Ohio State fans eager to get college football going, watching the SEC, watching the Big 12, watching the ACC, wondering if the Big Ten's got it wrong. Jeff Patricus joining us now. Jeff, how are you doing, man?
Good. How are you doing?
Doing well. You know, we're all coping. It's a weird year. Let's start first with kind of the Wisconsin fan base. How did they react when the Big Ten said, we're not going to do it, we're punting?
I think a lot of people were upset and, you know, kind of combination of being upset and bewildered because the move came kind of out of nowhere, you know, 6 days officially after they released the revised season schedule, 10-game, you know, league only, with really detailed protocols. And then less than a week later, you're shutting everything down. So I think that caught people off guard. And then, quite frankly, the commissioner went on the Big Ten Network and was evasive and didn't have a lot of details, unlike the Pac-12, which had a very detailed document. So there were people wanting to know, well, give us the details. Why are you shutting it down? What changed in the last 6 days? And especially because the Big Ten schedule, they had said, oh, we've got all this flexibility. We can always push it back. We can delay if things don't look good. And then they just shut it down. So people were really upset.
The players, the families of players, fans have all been squawking. You know, as that movement sort of unfolded in the last week, how much pressure was the Big Ten Conference getting from the fan base and from players and their families?
Let's put it this way. The commissioner, if you gauge it by social media, there's a lot of pressure. And some national writers have written some very pointed pieces that he has not handled the messaging well. And it started with his interview on the Big Ten Network the day that they announced that they were shutting things down. There's parents from certain groups, probably led by Ohio State, who are basically going to have a peaceful protest outside the Big Ten offices to try to sway Commissioner Kevin Warren and get him to go back and do the fall. I have been told that's, you know, there is 0.00001% chance he's going to change his mind and try to play in the fall again. But the interesting thing is, remember when the Pac-12 and the Big Ten guys came out with their demands of what they wanted to have play? Well, one of the demands for the Big Ten people was no liability waivers to sign. Now you've got parents hiring attorneys saying, well, we've got to get a liability waiver so our kids can just play. So that's been really been inconsistent, too, and that hasn't been good from the player's side. So it's a mess. It's just a mess.
We're talking to the Milwaukee Journal-Sentinel's Jeff Patricus. Jeff, the latest development has the Big Ten planning to play in early January. Tell us what you know about that.
Yeah, we wrote that yesterday. Basically, what I've been told is that, well, now Ryan Day and James Franklin had come out through this process and said, hey, you know, if we're going to have a spring season per se, let's start it earlier, like January. The thinking being, if you have a modified season, no one's saying it's going to be a full 12-game season. A modified season, you can have guys who are thinking of the 2021 draft try to play a full season, try to compete for a league championship at least, and then they can move on. Here they're talking about using the indoor facilities like in Ford Field in Detroit, Lucas Oil in Indianapolis, where the Vikings play up in Minneapolis. Penn State could perhaps play up at Syracuse. They've got a dome there. There's a dome in St. Louis. So it would be about an 8-game schedule, but again, this is all planning. 8-game schedule, indoor facilities, and you could get it done so guys could have a season and then prepare for the NFL draft. Guys who are, you know, planning on leaving, especially the guys who are seniors now, who aren't going to wait until 2021 if there's no season till then, or who really want to get into the draft.
The coaches have to be frustrated because they're looking over at the other conferences. If the SEC, ACC, and Big 12 pull this off, how bad do the Pac-12 and Big 10 look in your eyes?
If they do, and if they do it without a hitch, then I think the ultimate verdict will be that the Big 10 and the Pac-12 were premature in pulling the plug. And you and I both know that schools in those leagues will then use that on a recruiting trail. Now, as we know, there's no guarantee that those leagues are going to be able to pull it off. Notre Dame's having problems on their campus. North Carolina's having problems on their campus. The SEC, to me, would be the one that I swear they will go full bore until someone has a really serious issue, and then they might only think about delaying a game. So this has a long way to play out yet. It'll be interesting to see where it ends up and who comes out looking smart and who comes out looking less than.
College students on campuses right now, most of the Pac-12 is already on record saying, hey, we're not going to have students on campus. In the Big Ten, is that same philosophy holding up that, hey, when students come back, then it'll be no question that we'll be on the field and playing?
No. In fact, Michigan State was one that just decided to go back to virtual. Wisconsin, as of now, is scheduled to be a mix of virtual and some online, but the numbers are not looking good. You're having more and more issues on campuses. So it'll be interesting to see how many Big Ten schools really have even something close to the normal amount of students on campus and doing in-person teaching. I don't know how that's going to be. I always thought that, and you know what the reaction would be, the safest way, if we're just talking about safety, to play college football would be online learning, and the only kids who are on campus who are athletes, because that gives you the closest thing you could have to a bubble for college. But you know that the people who make that decision would be pilloried, saying, oh, now you're proving they're essential employees. You can't do that to these kids. But that, to me, would be the safest way to go about it.
There's nothing guaranteed right now. It's 2020. We all know that. But you've got Big Ten officials working on this plan, January start date. They brief the parents. They brief the players. Is it possible that they're just trying to appease the people who are angry? Give the crowd something, you know, so that we get them off our back for a little bit.
It's possible, but the people who shut down the 2020 season, that was the people outside of athletics. What I've been told is that this plan that the Big Ten's working on, this is coach/AD driven. These are guys who want to get on the field. Now, Ryan Day wants to get on the field in January because he knows if he doesn't play in January and either tries to play like in April, a spring season then, he's not going to have the same team he could have had on the field. He wants his full team to play in January, and he would do his best to convince guys ready to go to the draft, hey, play an 8-game season in January. You can that'll be your test run for the draft. You'll be fine. But this is guys who want to get on the field. They want to see their players get on the field too. Because the worst thing was you got guys back on campus and started practicing for a couple days in camp, and everything is shut down. And that was the worst situation.
We're talking to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel's Jeff Patricus. Jeff, I'm looking at this, and of course we want people to be safe and healthy. Is there a bigger challenge with a college football team than say the Green Bay Packers, or is it an apples and oranges comparison? Because I'm looking at the NFL too, going, gosh, if some of these NFL teams pull this off, you know, are we going to be wondering like, well, why can't you do that with a college program? Can we maybe speak to the challenges with college kids?
I'm not sure. I'll be curious to see if the NFL can pull it off. I mean, the biggest difference, obviously, you've got professional athletes versus college kids. The college kids, if you have students on campus, you're having a deal. You can't have your kids just go to class and, you know, go to practice. They're going to interact with a lot of people. Professional athletes, especially in Green Bay, I mean, that's a small town. They can go to practice and go straight home in their car and not go anywhere and not have any interaction other than with people they know, you know, family members, teammates. So that's a little bit different. Different bigger cities for the NFL, but the NFL does have an advantage. But I'll really be curious to see if they run into some problems as Major League Baseball did. Because all it takes is one guy on a team or whoever it is to do something foolish, to expose himself, and then you have an outbreak in the team. So I'm really curious to see whether the NFL can pull it off.
Jeff, we're all looking at testing, rapid testing, it not being crazy expensive, that being a big key to pulling this off. Are they any closer? Does the SEC know something that the rest don't, or is the SEC just more willing to take this thing to the end of the road before they give up on it?
The SEC is more, it's a matter of weighing risk, and the SEC is willing to take on more risk. That's just a given. But rapid testing, the last saliva test, that came out was approved, and it was last Friday, by the Food and Drug Administration. That one is the fastest and cheapest that they know of. And I talked to some people or communicated with some people the day I saw the story on that test, both at Wisconsin and outside UW. And everyone you talked to said, hey, this could be a huge key for us trying to get back on the field. And they didn't say right away or in 2 weeks or 3 weeks. They just said, this is huge because say you want to play a football game and it's going to be indoors. And people have asked me, why is indoors any safer? If you have a rapid test and you have a night game and you test your players in the morning, and if everybody's clean, you get the answers back, and everybody's clean on the other team, you would think you're okay. Then it doesn't matter if you play in a phone booth. If everybody's clean, you're okay. Now, maybe there's a problem with the test, but the rate of accuracy on these things is supposed to be really, really high. And the fact that it's cheap means you can test more frequently. That is a game changer if you talk to administrators and coaches.
Barry Alvarez has talked about that rapid saliva test and how that could factor into it. You know, he's clearly an old school guy, and I was looking forward to seeing, you know, what is Wisconsin going to be this year? What's Ohio State going to be this year? If the Big Ten ends up not playing and the Pac-12 ends up not playing and, you know, it gets punted to the spring, and what is the recruiting disadvantage? If they get a shortened season in that starts in January, is the disadvantage nullified?
Well, I can only speak to Wisconsin because I'm familiar with their class, but they've got the bulk of their next class committed. And I'm guessing most of those guys, as has been the case when they added the early signing date, the bulk of those guys will sign in December. The one thing I'm curious about, you mentioned the Pac-12, is if you can pull it off and better testing is available and they get the green light from their medical people and the Big Ten and the Pac-12 both play starting in January, you have two league champions meet in the Rose Bowl. I mean, would that be as good as if the SEC and the ACC and the Big 12 make it through the fall? No, there'd still be some people who would laugh. But I think big people in Big Ten country and Pac-12 country would not complain about seeing that.
Jeff Patrickis is our guest, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Hey, I really appreciate your time. I want you to stay safe out there. Keep doing what you do. And I'd love to see Wisconsin and maybe Oregon in the Rose Bowl. And maybe it'll happen in March.
I think we'd be covered by computer, unfortunately.
Yeah, we'll wave at each other. All right, Jeff, thank you for your time, man. Take care.
All right, have a good day. Take care.
All right. There's the temperature from Big Ten country. I think it's interesting. It's an interesting conversation to have because I think there's tentacles here that will affect the Pac-12 season, and certainly rapid testing would help. And I obviously think that this came down to the SEC and some others simply being willing to go a little further than anybody else. I'm still not convinced that they're going to pull it off. And here we are, like, what, several weeks away, a couple weeks away from college football game that is scheduled to be played, and I'm still looking and going, not sure that this is going to be a thing. Or if it is, maybe it just starts, and how many weeks can they go? I don't know, but I'm watching college campuses open and then have to close, and I'm watching, you know, Notre Dame is looking around going, there's a large segment of that student body now that has tested positive, and we're going, all right, those aren't good numbers that are coming out of Notre Dame. And I don't blame Notre Dame, but I'm just looking at the numbers going, that's not encouraging. That's not what we would hope for if we are, moving towards students being on campuses. I want you to leave it here. You got the bald-faced truth statewide. More ahead. love the listeners of our show. And for those of you who listen via podcast, appreciate you. If you're listening on the podcast, if you don't get the podcast, make sure you subscribe. The Bald Face Truth Podcast. We podcast almost in real time. What I mean by that is that if you are somebody out there that is listening to the show and you hear a great interview and you're like, oh, you know, I know somebody who would enjoy that. Minutes later, Alabama Adriana takes the podcast. She packages it, turns it around, posts it on, it goes to a variety of different places, including your Apple Podcasts on your iPhone or SoundCloud or Google Play. And away you go. You can share that podcast. You can listen to it later if you miss part of the interview. Then ultimately, you've got an opportunity to catch it all. Make sure you subscribe and give us a rating is what I'm saying. But where I'm going with this is we were talking earlier about the broadcaster of the Hornets who tweeted out the N-word has since been suspended. When I saw the headline for that, I immediately went like, wow, racist guy. Then I read a story about it and I went, oh, he's claiming it was a mistake. Then I ultimately read a second story that point where in which he claimed that it wasn't an autocorrect. It was him mistyping. And so we have talked about whether or not this could potentially have been him just instead of writing, I think the nuggets out, he did the N-word. I said this would be a simple investigation to kind of look at whether or not the, his phone autocorrects. But we have great listeners, smart listeners on this show. Ashley, who's listening to the show, reached out and said, if there are no spaces on the Jazz/Nuggets, it would not autocorrect with punctuation included in the word. That it's basic iPhone knowledge that it would not autocorrect. If that's true, is that true, Alabama Adriana? Because if he's tweeting out and he said the tweet actually says Jazz/Nuggets. I had figured that if you just put in nuggets and you see what it autocorrects to or what options exist, that would sort of do that. But the fact that there's no spaces, Ashley pointing out.
I'm testing that theory right now, and it still actually allows me to autocorrect.
Autocorrect just the nuggets part?
Yeah, just after the slash.
Okay, so there you go. She says basic iPhone knowledge. She was correcting me. So maybe we get our millennials in touch with each other, and we'll figure this out. I don't know. I'm troubled by the whole thing because I don't like it. I don't like it for a number of reasons, and I especially don't like it if the guy just made an honest mistake. Like, let's just assume he just made an honest mistake and his fingers hit two different letters that are adjacent to two other letters that he meant to type. I mean, how awful does he feel today, and how bad does this for his sort of career and image moving forward? It's terrible. But at the same time, I just wish we could know. And I think that's one of the, I had a college professor in college that taught a Black History and Black Studies course that I took. And he sort of talked about, he was a professor at the college, but he talked about how uncomfortable it was for him as he was walking around our college town at times that he said he was greeted by people that were afraid of him. And would cross the street or lock their doors because they saw a Black man walking down the street. And he said, that kind of racism, he said, I could handle because I can see it. He said, the other kind of racism, that institutional racism, the racists that are hiding out, the people who won't hire people of color, the people who discriminate or pay people of color less than they pay white people, that kind of institutional racism that keeps people down or doesn't allow somebody to rent a house or get a loan, that kind of stuff, he said, that's far more dangerous. Just want to point that out. All right, coming up, we got our 2 o'clock hour, and we'll be popping in. I got the two at two. We got the.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Faced Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Faced Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.